Welcome to Flavors Under the Big Sky, celebrating the bounty of the region. I'm Stella Fong. In this show, we head to downtown Billings to the Sassy Biscuit Company, a brunchery where we meet up with executive chef William McCormick. On this day between snowstorms, it is unseasonably warm, bringing people out to this restaurant that serves breakfast all day. Sunshine pushes me into this space that reminds me of stepping into a good friend's loft with furnishing beckoning from Crate and Barrel and Restoration Hardware, intermixed with thrift store and garage sale treasures. A whole wall is lined with clocks of all sizes and designs, muffin pans, and framed chicken wire with the words Loco and Fresh adorn the opposite wall. The vibe is Western comfort. The sight of the kitchen on the back wall lures you in, bringing you to the counter where you order. Chef McCormick, thanks for talking to us.
Hi, Stella. How are you today?
I'm doing great. It's really exciting to be here, and the restaurant's a buzz outside.
Yeah, Fridays are starting to get busy, and we're picking up for spring. It's supposed to be 70 degrees outside. We're expecting to have a good day. When it starts getting nice outside, people just start flocking in here. Within a couple weeks, we'll have lines out the door on Saturdays and Sundays for sure.
Well, that's what I'm used to. I can drive by or I try to stop by and people are here, and I feel like if I don't get here before like 8 o'clock in the morning, I'm probably going to have to wait in line.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, we've heard a lot of people say that they've tried to come here like 3 or 4 times on the weekends and they go home because the line's too long. But usually we get through the line pretty fast. I mean, you're waiting maybe 10, 15 minutes in line, and the food always comes out 10 minutes after. So in general, even if the line is all the way to the door, it's not going to take you any longer than it would at most other restaurants.
You guys take the order at the counter, so it makes things more efficient.
Yeah, it's a fast casual style restaurant. It's one of the few in Billings. You have your Chipotle's, that poke place is considered a fast casual too, but it's also, fast casual is the number one trend in restaurants. It's the way restaurants are moving forward to. It's a way to be more efficient, that you're not waiting on servers. It's self-sufficiency as well, you know? People don't need to have water served to them. Like, I prefer to go to a place where I can get my own drinks and get my own refills when I need it. That's kind of one of the things that fast casual is dependent on, is that desire for people not to have to have somebody wait on them all the time. And we can also save money on food that way. We can put more time into creating the food and the experience that you want.
The Sassy Biscuit Company was started in 2018 by owners Jalon and DeMarco Johnson. They had a concept but needed someone to execute their ideas. So how did Executive Chef William meet up with the Johnsons?
Well, I was actually working at Bin 119 at the time, and I saw the ad on Facebook. It was a Facebook ad for a kitchen manager, and so I came down and applied, and within a couple interviews, they decided to hire me as the chef.
And in the year and a half they have worked together?
Got to know them personally. Jalon and DeMarco have become like family, kind of like we all are here. It's definitely a restaurant where we treat everyone as family.
And that sense of family continues.
We hire a lot out of recovery, so it's a sober kitchen, one of the only few in town that is big on sobriety. And some negatives come with that. There's so many positives. It's people that love their jobs, they love being here, and just treating them with respect, and it gives us that sense of unity as well.
I love it because I believe that breakfast is family. People go out as family for breakfast. So to know that you are supporting the community and bringing recovery and hope to our community is a really, really cool thing. So are you from Billings? Is this hometown for you?
So I grew up outside of Edgar, Montana, a little potato farm about 3 miles north of Edgar. So I grew up on a farm, and then I moved to Florida when I was 18 or 19, lived there for a while, traveled the country for most of my adult life, and then back in 2014, I moved back to Montana, and I've been here since.
Well, you got your culinary training in Las Vegas, is that correct? The Le Cordon Bleu Culinary College of Arts?
Yes, I graduated from Le Cordon Bleu in 2009. I worked at Mesa Grill down there for a little while. I did my externship down there. That's Bobby Flay's restaurant. And I came back. I worked in Red Lodge for a couple years. Moved to Kalispell after that. And then Spokane. Got a lot of great culinary knowledge out in Spokane, working at some of the better restaurants there downtown.
Then from Spokane, McCormick came to Billings to work at
Fieldhouse for about a year and a half. Then I went to Bin after that, and now I'm here.
You have been around, but you've been here now almost 2 years.
Yeah, I was here, I was the first person they hired. Been here since the start, I helped do the menu, helped create a lot of the dishes that we have here. And I definitely feel like Sassy Biscuit is a part of me as much as I'm a part of it.
Before we continue with Chef William, let's hear from owner and founder Jalon Johnson. Johnson is currently pursuing the opening of a second The Sassy Biscuit Company in Dover, New Hampshire. Her husband is currently working for the Pentagon, so at the end of last year, they moved to the East Coast. Let's learn how the Johnsons ended up in Billings, Montana, to open the Sassy Biscuit Company here in 2018. We talked to Jalon Johnson on the phone from Maryland.
We were in San Diego, California, and it was time for our next tour. My husband had just finished a stint, 3 years as a drill instructor, and we received orders to Billings, and we got those orders based on the monitor basically saying, I'm putting you there, like it or not, here you go. And I had just turned down a promotion that I was not very happy losing, but knew that it was essential to do for my family. And I knew that moving to Billings would be difficult for me to find a position as a military spouse. So I had always thrown around the idea of opening a restaurant. I thought it's now or never. And so started just doing a lot of research.
And you have culinary background.
Yes. So I, after high school, went to culinary school. That's actually where I met my husband. But I did not work in the field very long. So just a little under a year after I graduated school did I work in the field. So it wasn't for me, but I guess it was in the end.
Right.
I didn't love cooking in a commercial kitchen for several reasons. And I knew if I opened a restaurant that I would want to change a lot of things about my experiences working in a commercial kitchen.
So then the idea of Sassy Biscuits came to be because you thought it would be a viable business for you here in Billings.
So one thing that I've learned about business is to make sure that there's, a need. And I really saw that in my experience that a lot of smaller cities just don't have the creativity that you find in some of these larger cities, especially places like San Diego where we had just come from. And so I wanted to be able to bring some of my experiences to a place like Billings because I didn't grow up in a larger city and didn't get all of those cool and creative culinary experiences that you get in larger cities.
Why Sassy Biscuits? Why biscuits?
That's a great question. Everyone says, is it a family recipe? And no, the answer is no. I was just watching a Food Network channel on waffles, and I thought to myself, what about a biscuit waffle? And so I had never been to a biscuit restaurant. I didn't even know they existed. And then just started developing this idea of a biscuit waffle, which then turned into biscuits, then turned into Sassy Biscuit.
So the Food Network has inspired another successful entrepreneur. We will talk more to Johnson later in the show to learn advice about realizing a business. We now go back to the restaurant and continue to hear from Chef William. Share with me some of the work that did go into the menu, because I know that some of it is also Jalon's family remembrances and some of her favorite dishes.
Oh, yeah. She has, our oatmeals are named after her mom and her dad. She always tells a story about how her mom would always have a piece of lemon bread with her oatmeal every morning and some blueberries, and her dad would always have the apple and cinnamon raisin combination on his oatmeal. So that's why we named our oatmeals the Ma and the Pa. As far as culinary inspiration goes, we came in with the idea of wanting to do a from scratch restaurant. As far as I know, I think we're the only place around that does bacon in-house. We have a big smoker out back that we fit 200 pounds of bacon in. We make our sausage. We use a sausage grinder downstairs to grind our own sausage. We don't buy anything pre-made, and we make it all in-house.
Well, and let's get down to the biscuits. Since this is named Sassy Biscuit Company, you do more of the drop style biscuit, which means that it's more of a batter type biscuit rather than a dough type biscuit. Tell the listeners about that.
So we start off with our biscuit. It's frozen butter that we shred, and that's one of the keys, is making sure your butter stays cold. We add a butter and shortening mix, about a little bit, 70% I'd say butter and 30% shortening. The reason we do a drop style is because it keeps a more moisture inside the biscuit. You're allowed to play with a wetter dough than you would if you're folding it, if you're having to work with it. So the biscuits come out a little wet. And that's what we wanted to have. We wanted people not to need to have butter on their biscuit. So we add a lot of buttermilk. Heavy cream is another one of our key ingredients in our biscuit. And it does. It comes out absolutely fabulous every time, making sure that we don't overwork the dough and cook it to the right temperature.
Well, and that secret of the shredded butter, is it because it stays somewhat frozen, and then when it hits the oven, it actually forms these great pockets?
Yeah, exactly. When you have that frozen butter, it doesn't become a homogeneous mixture with the flour. Like, anytime you're working with biscuit dough, even pie dough for a lot of times. I personally use frozen butter for my pie dough as well, along with ice cold water. It's such a key element in a lot of these baking and pastry dishes because, like you said, when the heat hits it, the moisture in the butter melts and it becomes a flavor packet basically inside the biscuit.
Butter and cream, that magic in baking and in food.
Aside from the oatmeal and biscuits, the Sassy Biscuit Company also serves up waffled press biscuits. Chef William shares the secret behind making these signature waffles.
We use the same technique for the batter as we use for the biscuits. It's that cutting in of the shredded butter. So we use frozen butter for our waffle batter as well, and it's still left in pretty decent sized pieces. Rather than a normal waffle batter where you would either use frozen butter or shortening, and cut it in completely. We leave chunks in it still, so that way, just like we were talking about earlier, that when the heat hits, it becomes that flavor of that high butter concentration in that little spot that makes a better mouthfeel.
No, again, that butter and cream and all those, that deliciousness. You guys just opened a second location, or in the process of that, in Dover, New Hampshire. Tell the listeners about that.
Okay, well, Dover. So what had happened is a lady named Ronnie Pekins came in several months after we opened, and she was here in Montana visiting her son, and she loved the idea of Sassy Biscuits. She loved the restaurant. She loved the concept and what we were doing, and she called Jalan out to talk to Jalan, and she's like, so I want one of these back where I live. And Jalan's like, well, where do you live? And she's like, I live in New Hampshire. Jalan laughed, and they ended up getting to talk, and we've thought about expanding, and just knowing that Ronnie was the person that we wanted to be working with. She was just, you know, we call her Mama Ronnie for a reason. She's just such a wonderful person. And when we went out to New Hampshire last January, we just fell in love. It's such the perfect place. It's like the Billings of the East Coast. Dover is the fastest growing city in New Hampshire. It's just about 10 miles north of Portsmouth, which is on the coast, right next to Maine. We're going to be getting our coffee from Portland, Maine. It just has that feel of being home, of being a small enough city. I think there's 50,000 people that live in Dover, but it's still that blue class, middle class working city. And it's just gorgeous out there. I love that coast.
On the phone from Maryland, Johnson tells us more about their sister restaurant in Dover, New Hampshire.
So currently, I am in Maryland, but just about every other week or sometimes every week, I travel up to New Hampshire, and we are opening a second location there in Dover, New Hampshire, where right now we're in build-out mode. So we have, for the last, I think, 6 months, been building out the space. It's a brand new space that has 137 luxury apartments above it. And so the tenants will be able to come down. We're right down in the middle of downtown Dover. Such a cool, quaint spot in New Hampshire. Lots of attributes that remind me of Billings.
And in Billings, Chef William adds,
we were hoping to be open by early May, but with everything taking a lot longer than it was supposed to. It's looking like end of May, beginning of June. But as far as my involvement going forward, hopefully I'll be out there long enough to find somebody to take over and be able to run it out there. But yeah, I'm going to be out there getting the kitchen ready. We're working on a lot of new recipes out there.
As recipes are being fine-tuned and developed, overall, Johnson shares,
considered adding a separate concept on at night, because as a bruncher, we don't get much business at night. And New Hampshire has similar laws to Montana that you have to be open late in order to have a liquor license.
Perhaps in the future, I can sip a Bloody Mary and mimosa with my biscuit creation. I wish Jalan Johnson much luck in her new endeavor. Come back to the second part of Flavors Under the Big Sky, where we discover the Sassy Biscuits Company's customer favorite, learn more about Chef William, and gain some business tips from Johnson. Welcome back to the second part of Flavors Under the Big Sky. We return to the Sassy Biscuit Company, where we are talking to Executive Chef William. One of the highlights last summer was the arrival of Air Force Two, bringing Vice President Mike Pence and Second Lady Karen to Billings. Mrs. Pence came to the restaurant to show her support of military wives. Chef William shares of the experience.
The Secret Service came like 3 or 4 days before she got here. It was a little nerve-wracking. We catered for her event that night as well. She came in, ordered some food. She's a really wonderful lady, just sweet. And she was here to support military wives and what they can do as far as like setting up businesses. And I know Mike Pence was here. He went to Rimrock and was talking to their recovery programs. But it was nerve-wracking. It was a lot of security as far as what we had to go through to get her in here. They checked her downstairs. They made security checks all over the place. They were out in the alleys. And I think about 15 of them came in an hour before she got here. We're looking around, making sure that everything was safe.
The Sassy Biscuit Company also does their part in making our town safe. We're Facebook friends, and I see that you do a lot for the community. Share with the listeners some of the things you like doing. From helping the recovery program here in the kitchen, what other things do you enjoy helping the community with?
That is one of my favorite things about working here, is that Jalon gives me such a wider range of being able to give back, being able to help out in the community. We have an event coming up later this month where Wise Wonders is doing a benefit. We're going to be over there making, I think it's 200 portions of biscuits with fish chowder. I got some crab, some clams that I'm going to make a chowder with. Some sort of specialty biscuit, I'm not sure what. But last week, or week and a half ago, something like that, we were at Newman Elementary where we donated 500 breakfasts of green eggs and ham for Dr. Seuss's birthday. That was a lot of fun. She actually has a set aside budget amount that we're allowed to spend on food every month to give away. We donate to Tumbleweed once a month. It's something that she has set forward as one of our mission statements to become part of the community, that we're not just here as a store, we're here to also give back as well. And yeah, hiring and recovery is a big part of that. But these other functions, last year we did the MSU Bee, Wine, and Food Festival. We give to the Art House. We try to give as much as possible. That's what we want to do. We want to be there for other people.
Well, that's what makes a great community, is everybody pitching in and making a difference. So what does it take to run the kitchen that feeds the community as well as the customers?
We usually run about 14, 15 staff in the kitchen, with another 12 or 13 up front. We have long days here. We have 9-10 hour shifts. So I usually only work anybody in the kitchen 3 to 4 days a week, making sure that they have enough money to live. We split all of our tips. So it's actually one of the better paying kitchens in town as far as pay goes. Just because we don't serve, you know, it's a community, it's a family here. So everybody's making the same amount of money.
With a restaurant that's open 7 days a week during the day and in the evenings from Wednesday to Saturday, there needs to be teamwork, and Chef William cannot be at the restaurant 24/7.
I have two wonderful supervisors, Katie Fillinger and Jack Workman, who do most of my heavy lifting for me, and they make it smooth that, you know, that way I'm able to go out to New Hampshire for a month or two and know that it's in great hands. You know, we have an assistant manager out front, Elizabeth Oswald, and she's doing some great things. She's pretty much a rock star running the front of the house right now, so. Brian Walton is also going to be, well, he's the restaurant manager. He's going to be out in New Hampshire helping us set up. So we have to be okay leaving this place in the hands of the people that are capable of doing it.
Well, I love seeing the confidence in your face. And I was worried because you are open 7 days a week. And from Wednesdays through Saturday, you're open into the early evening. So I would imagine that in other restaurants, you might be here 24/7 just about.
Yeah, it's definitely something that I had to learn to be able to let go, be able to walk away and know that they have it. But you have to release control to do that. You have to be able to let them make their own decisions and know that they're capable adults of doing that. And that becomes tough when it's not the decision you would have made, and you look back and be like, why did they do that? But it's definitely where the growth has happened the most in the restaurant since it's opened. Is the ability to trust other people and that family style. Like, I haven't hired anyone in 8 months. Like, it's the only restaurant I've ever worked at that we keep our employees. Like, it's not a revolving door around here. People that work here love working here, and it's great to know that they feel like they're part of the family.
You should be really proud of that. So let's step quickly into the kitchen. The space is probably 400 square feet, not large and very intimate, with the cooking area about half that size. The kitchen opens into the dining room, letting diners watch the activity. There is a tall rack of cooked biscuits at the edge of the wall with a stove and oven. Then there's the counter where plating and prep takes place. And on the other side, servers come up to pick up and deliver dishes to diners.
Now is a Sojourner, which is one of our more popular items. It's a grilled biscuit French toast. So what we do is we take our biscuits, we dip them in our French toast batter and put them on the grill, add some strawberries at the end, and use real maple syrup to finish it off with, and some chantilly cream.
Once the dish is made, it must quickly go out to the diner.
Victor does a really good job of running that line. When the tickets come in, he calls them out. Who's ever working saute will throw the waffles down, and they just move on from there. You know, it's communication is really the key to any time a line is going well. It's because communication is working well. We can keep up in the kitchen as fast as they can sell it on the register, basically. We never have too many tickets sitting there online. We never have a backup. So it's never more than about a 20-minute wait, and that's about the worst we'll ever get.
What's the most popular item?
Oh, by far, our most popular item is what's called the kitchen sink. It starts off with red potatoes that we cut up and roast in the oven. The potatoes are actually grown on the farm that I grew up on, and so we start with roasting the potatoes off. We have our own special sassy mix that we get made from Spiceology out in Spokane. That's our seasoning blend. Then we add our house-made sausage, our sink veg, which is a mix of onions, peppers, and mushrooms. Top it off with some bacon gravy, a fried egg, and a biscuit, of course.
Of course, a biscuit. Before we end this show, we will spend a little time with both Chef William and Jalon Johnson to perhaps know them a little more intimately. Let's start with Chef William and discover what culinary professional he has looked up to.
Definitely Anthony Bourdain is my all-time culinary hero. When I first read Kitchen Confidential, it was before I went to culinary school. I just fell in love with the idea that restaurants were... It was a place for the misfits. That's one of my favorite quotes by him, is that it's the last home place for the misfit. No matter what your background, no matter where you came from, you can always find a home in the restaurants. And I've felt that way throughout my culinary career. And Michael Ruhlman being another big one.
Michael Ruhlman is the author to over a dozen books. With Thomas Keller, he wrote The French Laundry Cookbook and Ad Hoc at Home. He is author of Charcuterie, The Craft of Salting, Smoking, and Curing, and Salami, The Craft of Italian Dry Curing, books that have inspired Chef William.
Love working with meat. I love the idea, the craft of being able to preserve meat through, like you have prosciutto that takes 10 months minimum of aging. It's such an ancient form of working with food that there's history behind it. You feel the animal when you're doing it. I mean, especially knowing, like, if you're getting a quality pig, something like that. And I've read all of Michael Ruhlman's work for the most part, pretty much all of Anthony Bourdain's as well. Those are my two favorites.
Well, aside from the famous chefs, who is your culinary hero? Your mother? An aunt? Your grandmother?
My foster mom, Mag Seawright. She was the person who I would always love watching her. She was the farmer's wife, but she made all the meals. And even though she wouldn't allow me in the kitchen most of the time when I wanted to, she would always help show me how to do things. And she was definitely the person that I gained respect for food from.
What did she make that was your favorite?
So I grew up, and they were vegetarians. So the favorite thing that she made was her homemade spaghetti sauce. And I loved having spaghetti. But she also made what we called gluten, which is it's Satan is technically the term you'll find it in stores for. But you take the flour, you put it in balls, and you wash out all the starch from it. And then she would boil it off in seasoning and bread it and fry it in cracker crumbs. And oh, that's what I would request for every birthday.
I feel like we may be like food soulmates, because that was the most favorite thing that my dad made.
Was gluten?
Yes, he would take a bag of flour,
put it, you know, in the sink, mix it with water, and then try to get the flour out of it. And then you end up with this chewy protein.
Yeah, I mean, I still prefer it over, like, chicken fried steak is what I probably, probably feel it's closest to, but it's still one of my favorite things in the world. Just like that crispy outside, that nice kind of meaty gluten inside, and, you know, fried in butter, you can't beat that.
Yeah, fresh out of the fryer. It was really delicious. What about holiday meals?
Holiday meals. We always have a big Thanksgiving meal, especially. That's when all the family comes home. I remember one Thanksgiving, there were 60-some people at the farm out there. She was a planner. She always made big meals, and every Friday night we would always have tacos, and, you know, usually get 20, 30 people out there for tacos. Mm-hmm. Every Sunday morning I remember her making biscuits and gravy. It was a wonderful childhood growing up as far as the food that I remember.
Finally, before we end this show, we hear from Jalon Johnson, who is opening at Second, the Sassy Biscuit Company. With just getting into the restaurant business about a year and a half ago, here's some insight into her success. I felt like you were actually really methodical from what I could observe is in establishing your business here. You went that grassroots way. You did your homework. You asked for the help of professionals in the business. You went to farmers market. That's where I discovered you. You had a booth there. So give me some of the highlights of how you got started here in Billings.
So for me, failure was not an option for me. We had put a lot of money on the line, a lot of time, and it's just not in my blood. And so I knew in order to be successful, I needed to gain the knowledge of the professionals. So I talked with Dina at the SBDC and sat down and talked with other professionals in the industry. Joni from Harper Madison spent quite a bit of time with me just telling me about her business and learning from her the rights and wrongs and do's and don'ts and other chefs in the industry. And then they connected me with other people who connected me with other people. And it just started forming this network of professionals who worked in the industry in some way, shape, or form, who then helped mold my ideas and help them grow.
And I just thought that was a great part of your journey in the sense that you weren't proud. You didn't come in thinking that you knew everything. And I do believe that that's really the backbone of your success.
I think a lot of times entrepreneurs don't reach out for help. They want to do everything themselves. And I don't know if they don't want to reach out or they don't want to take the time to take a moment, figure everything out, and then move forward. A lot of times, you know, we've got these great ideas. We want to see them come to fruition. And so we try to go at them as fast as we can. So people like, hold on, wait a minute. Did you consider this? Did you do this? When you learn from other people's mistakes, that allows you not to make them and to make better choices. And so I think it's instrumental as an entrepreneur. Just take a second and really make sure that you're doing everything necessary to be successful.
I wish the Sassy Biscuit Company much success. Thanks to Chef William McCormick for letting us learn about the behind-the-scenes work at the restaurant. Thanks to owner and founder Jalon Johnson for giving us insight on how she has turned her eatery into a popular community gathering space. Music for Flavors Under the Big Sky, celebrating the bounty of the region, has been provided by Parker Brown. Additional funding comes from the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanians. Thanks to you, listeners, for your support. I'm Stella Fong.